Okay, I take it that it's 11 o'clock, so I'm going to make a start, if that's okay. Can people keep it down, because I don't have a microphone for you guys. Okay, so I'm on. Thank you. Trustable software framework, an attempt to change some stuff in the world. We'll see how we get on. First of all, I'd like to say a great talk by Imanol. We're working in exactly the same area. He's way more technical than me, so there won't be any statistics in this. But we do fully support the concept of statistics for assessing software. So just a very brief thing. CodeThink, I hope, is known to quite a few of you. We're specializing in open source. We do a lot of software engineering for international scale clients, and we tend to recommend open source for everything. That means that we have lots of friends, but also we make some enemies, particularly in the proprietary world. So here's a question that we've ended up crystallizing, particularly in the last few years. And as we ask it, people kind of assume that this is a stupid question, but it's not. I would like you to all take away from this talk, why are we trusting software, right? And at the bottom there, this is the actual official way to install Rust. Now, I'm not calling out the Rust community. Rust is one of the most sensible communities in terms of protecting its supply chain. But to install Rust, you are surrendering control of your machine, and you're pulling some stuff from the internet, and you're saying, here, go. Okay? So you are trusting the Rust community, and you're trusting that command line when you do it. Right? Many software programs get installed exactly that way. It's a risk every time you do that. Right? Who are the people behind that thing that you're trusting? Now, our journey on this specific topic got started in 2016. We were asked by Bosch how open source could help with safety. Now, Bosch, for those who don't know, has made billions of braking systems for cars, so they're pretty good at safety, right? The question came up because people in Bosch were starting to realize that the systems are getting much more complex. Historically, they could put all of the stuff together themselves. They could design silicon, design hardware, write software, all the way up, turnkey system, bang, Bosch, certify, okay? But then customers are demanding, oh, can you use QNX? Can you use this third-party silicon? Can you work with this board? Can you integrate all of these other suppliers? That's a very different risk profile, and it's much harder. So they started thinking, well, how do people achieve that kind of interaction between all these different things? Oh, open source is pretty good at that. Let's have a go. So we started a research project, and the answer, very quickly, we stopped the research project because, first of all, there was no overlap between safety and open source. That may not be obvious to you. Please think about it. This is the one bastion of human activity where high tech is concerned, where it's still not open source. It's mainly proprietary solutions, secret behind closed doors. Very, very strange, don't you think? Right? But the answer that came back was you can't use open source for safety. This was from other guys in Bosch. And the reason is, it doesn't comply with the standards, doesn't have requirements, so you can't say what it's supposed to be doing, it doesn't have an architecture, so you can't say that you've designed something to satisfy the requirements, and it has no traceability to say what the software is doing. Okay? So that is enough to stop open source in its tracks versus safety. Now, the standards. That's some of the standards that we're aware of that deal with safety. Some of them are all linked to this 61508, which Imanol mentioned. That's a well-established standard, over 20 years of history, and it's worked well for a whole lot of industries, but it's spawned these child standards in different industries. CodeThink, for better or worse, has been dragged kicking and screaming into the automotive industry and then into autonomous vehicles, right? And years ago, in discussion with my colleagues, some of whom are here, the thought was, do we really think this is safe? Probably not. But we'd rather be in there finding out what people are thinking of doing than just standing on the side and watching the proprietary guys make this stuff. So we got involved, right? Now, you've all seen that, I hope. The underlying tenet here is we're trying to get to a change in how this standardization process works so that people can actually see what's going on, particularly with regard to safety. Right? So that's the XKCD view, and we are in danger of just creating yet another idea, which in this context is the Trustable Software Framework, to compete with all of the other stuff that people have been working on for decades. Okay? Very little chance of success, but hopefully I might at least engage some people to think about the issues and why we're trying to do it. Okay, so here's one thing. Are you aware that if you want to be a safety expert, you're going to have to spend $5,000 to read this document? And if you buy it, you can't then share it with your colleagues. We paid that money, and accidentally our finance director bought the document. And then we were told that the rest of us couldn't read it. So in public, on what was Twitter, which I no longer have anything to do with, I called them out and said, you know, in effect, this is a Ponzi scheme. You're asking us to pay for work which is done by experts for free, but you're charging 5,000 bucks for it. So we got our money back. Then we had to buy the 26262 standard, which is, so we have in the end paid for a copy of the standard. But, you know, this is ridiculous. The licensing of it and the cost of it, this is about public safety. Why is this all so secret? So I just want to dig a bit deeper into one of these standards, the automotive one, which we've been wrestling with now for quite a long time. They have this fundamental assumption in 26262 that if you are working with software, if you do it right, if you have your architecture, you code it properly, you test it properly, then it will be perfect. It will never fail. Fantastic. Maybe that was true back then when those guys were working on their software before Git existed and before Linux existed. But that's not the world we are in now. We do not have deterministic software, as Immanuel argued very coherently. Right? The trouble with that is that assumption means that everything in that standard is about process. Right? It's not about how good the software is, really. It's about how you follow a process. And they will literally argue that you can't use Linux and open source. Rather, you should write the whole thing from scratch. Ludicrous. And to be clear, the processes they're advocating aren't used in the world anymore, in most of the world. So you're either working agile or open source or both in most organizations that innovate software. Whereas, these guys are talking about the V model. I'm not going to bore you with that, but basically it's the 90s came back and demanded that we still do it their way. So, no open source. I'm going to keep skipping forward because I have lots of slides. So, we're not in Kansas.